नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 इंस्ट्रक्शंस फॉर सिविलाइज्ड ह्यूमन बीइंग टेक्स्ट 16 संतुष्टस्य निरहस्य निरीहस्य स्वात्मा रामस्य यत् सुखम् कुतस्तत्काम लोभेन धावतो रथया दिशः
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय Translation, then few more verses, then purport will be given to the text number 18 by Srila Prabhupada. One who is content and satisfied and who links his activities with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, residing in everyone's heart, enjoys transcendental happiness without endeavoring for his livelihood. Where is such happiness for a materialistic man who is impelled by lust and greed, and who therefore wanders in all directions with a desire to accumulate wealth? Text 17, translation. For a person who has suitable shoes on his feet, there is no danger even when he walks on pebbles and thorns. For him, everything is auspicious. Similarly, for one who is always self-satisfied, there is no distress. Indeed, he feels happiness everywhere. My dear King, text 18. My dear King, a self-satisfied person can be happy even with only drinking water. However, one who is driven by the senses, especially by the tongue and genitals, must accept the position of a household dog to satisfy his senses. Purport. According to the Shastras, a Brahmana or a cultured person in Krishna consciousness will not enter anyone's service to maintain body and soul together, and especially not for satisfaction of the senses. A true Brahmana is always satisfied. Even if he has nothing to eat, he can drink a little water and be satisfied. This is only a matter of practice. Unfortunately, however, no one is educated in how to be satisfied in self-realization. As explained above, a devotee is always satisfied because he feels the presence of the Supreme Soul within his heart and thinks of him 24 hours a day. That is real satisfaction. A devotee is never driven by the dictations of tongue and genitals, and thus he is never victimized by the laws of material nature.
ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः
हरे कृष्ण सो विद द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ द डिवोटीज आई लाइक टू स्पीक ऑन दिस प्रेजेंट टॉपिक द चैप्टर एंटाइटेड इंस्ट्रक्शंस फॉर सिविलाइज्ड ह्यूमन बीइंग्स एंड इन दिस लास्ट थ्री वर्सेस It is described how a Brahmana is satisfied in all circumstances, whereas one who is trying to enjoy the senses is not satisfied in any circumstances. So, we will focus on the first aspect, because this Brahminical culture is very much misunderstood in this present time and even in India. So, I'll take few incidents from Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the chapter how Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by a Brahmana. Srila Prabhupada writes a lot in the purport about Brahminical culture. But basically, if you check Bhagavad Gita, There are many verses describing qualities of Brahmana. First of all, Krishna says that Chaturvarna Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasya, that the four caste system, that is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, are initiated by me. They are built by me. That system was built by Krishna. And the division is based on guna and karma. All of us know this simple fact. Based on quality and activity, two aspects, guna karma. So in the 18th chapter, Krishna explains what are these guna karma of Brahmana. A very nice verse that he says, samadama taposocham shantim arjabhamevacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabajam. What are these guna karma? Krishna explains. Sama means peacefulness. Sama means equal. In all circumstances he is equal. He is not reacting in a different situation. Become very happy or very sorrow depending on situation. That is called sama. Equanimity or peacefulness, Prabhupada says. Dama means one who is able to control his senses. Tapa means one who is like to perform austerities, tapasya. Socha means he is clean. Shantim means he is tolerant. Arjabam means he is truthful. And jnanam vijnanam, that means he has knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And vijnanam also means he has realized knowledge. Astikyam, that means he is believing in God. He is worshipping Supreme Lord as Vishnu. These are the karma and svabhava, or the qualities. So now in this, if we see this verse, we can see that most of them are the describing the character of the Brahmana. There are two activity in the sense ki he is performing tapasya. And this is activity which is not sense gratification. Normally activity refers to sense gratification. But here he is doing activity, but that is also not sense gratification, tapasya. And astikyam means he is believing in God. That is another important aspect of Brahmana, because there are many people who have quite good moral values in their life. They have maintained a high standard of morality. There are many, many leaders also like that. But to become believer of God and worshipper of God is something that shows a person is actually humble in one sense. So in Bhagavatam there is a verse describes that harava vaktasya kuta mahat guna, that if a person is not devotee, what is the use of these great qualities? They're like decorating a dead body, something like that. So the good qualities, as well as activity of tapasya, vijnana means self-realized, that means he is practicing that knowledge and have realized that knowledge. Such a person is actually a Brahmana. Now, the question comes, although in India for so many millions of years this culture was practiced, why all of a sudden it fell down or it broke down? Why it collapsed? So, as we see this verse, that there are qualities and there are activities. So, when the activity does not match with the quality, then the system breaks down, basically. And in this particular pastime of Parikshit Maharaj, we'll see how this exactly happened in the history. Just excuse me. And it was described by Srila Suta Goswami to the sages of Naveshwaranya. So they wanted to know more about Parikshit Maharaj. And when they asked such a question, Suta Goswami was very happy to reply their answers. And this particular section he begins, Actually, from here, this is actually a prelude to the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Sukhdev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. And this is especially spoken by Suta Goswami. He's describing how the whole Srimad Bhagavatam description started. And he begins with a very humble verse where he himself speaks about himself, basically, the first verse. So Suta Goswami said, "O God," he's saying, he's calling out to God, "O God, although we are born in a mixed caste, we are still promoted in birthright simply by serving and following the great who are advanced in knowledge. Even by conversing with such great souls, one can without delay cleanse oneself of all disqualifications resulting from lower births." So he is very humbly presenting himself as a person who is from a mixed caste. But he himself was not born in a Brahmana family. Srila Prabhupada is giving very nice purport in this verse. So you can see that a person who is going to speak about it was himself not born in a Brahmana family. At the same time, he is saying, just by associating with pure devotees, I have become qualified to speak this message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So can you imagine? Sukhdev Goswami is the first person to speak. And the next person who is speaking is not from a Brahmana family. And Prabhupada is describing very nicely in the purport the how till that time it was never considered whether what person is coming, what is the background of a person who was already qualified or recognized by authorities as a Brahmana. Nobody would discuss about it. And Prabhupada says in the purport that Suta Goswami was recognized by the rishis like Sukhdev Goswami and Vyasdev as a bona fide Brahman. And not only that, the sages of Naimisharanya also accepted it. So what happens when, if the sages of Naimisharanya would have refused to accept Suta Goswami as a Brahmana, then they would have disrespected Vyasdev and Sukhdev Goswami, who has recognized him, who has recognized Suta Goswami as a qualified person. So we can see Srila Prabhupada, he has imbibed this spirit. Prabhupada says in the purport, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reintroduced this process in the age of Kali. It was actually broke down after Sringi and all the... This is because of a lot of unqualified Dvija Bandhus, this system broke down because of pointing fingers at qualified people. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again reintroduced it 500 years back by qualifying like Haridas Thakur, Ajnamacharya. And there are many examples. Similarly, we can see Srila Prabhupada also worked very hard day and night to train people in Brahminical culture and qualify them in that. But he faced a lot of problems, we know these things are known to us. But if we really want to know and understand what this culture is, then I don't think there is any place where you can understand it better than in Prabhupada's books. So here, Suta Goswami is explaining to the sages of Naimisharanya, and they are also hearing and appreciating the whole episode. So the whole discussion begins from the speaker who very humbly says that although I was not qualified at one point of time, but by the association of pure devotees, this has been possible. And then he says, just by a glance of pure devotee, one gets purified, Prabhupada explains in the purport. Whereas one has to take bath in Ganges, but pure devotee simply glances, that can purify the sinful people. So Prabhupada says, therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to train a lot of preachers and send all over to purify the whole world. And then Suta Goswami says, then what to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotees, chanting the holy name of the unlimited, who has unlimited potency. The personality of Godhead, unlimited in potency and transcendental by attributes, is called Ananta or unlimited. So he's explaining, then what to speak of those who get trained under pure devotees, get their constant association, and they constantly chant the holy name. And because the Lord is unlimitedly powerful, to purify such people, it's not a difficult job for him, because he's unlimitedly powerful. So we can see in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, I think it was Ballabhacharya, if I'm wrong, please correct me, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, Ballabhacharya was there, and Sanatana Goswami was there. And Sanatana Goswami was still not in his Goswami title. He was coming to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time, somewhere in North India. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Ballabhacharya, he is, do not bother about him, he is not a Brahmana, or something like that. It was Rupa Goswami, So don't bother about him, he is not a Brahmana, so something like that, some issue came up. But then Ballabhacharya immediately objected. He said, no, he is chanting the holy name of the Lord constantly. How can we say he is not a Brahmana? So in that way, we see in that pastime, Ballabhacharya actually proves himself. So here, the same verse, similar verse here, that chanting the holy name purifies a person completely. And Prabhupada writes in the purport especially, the chanting has to be offenseless. So we cannot just say chanting Hare Krishna means a pure devotee. Offenseless chanting has to be, unless a person reaches to that stage, he is not as pure. He is just trying. Training is continuing like that. So, in this way, he is just explaining his own situation and then says that how much I can, the Lord is unlimited, how much I can explain. Just like a bird can fly as much as its capacity in the sky, similarly I can try to explain this subject matter. And then he starts about Parikshit Maharaj, this particular pastime, that Parikshit caused by a Brahmana boy. Then says, once upon a time, Maharaj Parikshit, while engaged in hunting in the forest with bow and arrows, became extremely fatigued, hungry and thirsty, while following these tugs. While searching for a reservoir of water, he entered the hermitage of the well-known Samika Rishi and saw the sage sitting silently with closed eyes. So the description begins that how Parikshit Maharaj once was hunting and he was very, very fatigued, thirsty. Just now we read the verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that a Brahmana, if he doesn't get any food, he is satisfied simply by drinking some water. So that is the level of satisfaction. Normally sometimes we see in Brahmacharya Ashram, devotee says, okay, from now onwards I want to do some austerity. I don't want to eat any sweets anymore. For 1 year, something like that. And that particular moment, a lot of sweets will come your way. So it's like this. If a person's desire to do austerity, it's not that he will not be maintained. He will be maintained. Things will come on his way. Even if we just try to stop eating something, that thing automatically comes. We have seen in our own lives. So therefore, Brahmanas and those who are very pure devotees, they don't depend or for their maintenance on eating. That comes automatically. Krishna says that he is the maintainer of all living entities. And he also says, Brahmanas are very dear to me. So why will not he maintain Brahmanas? And here, Parikshit Maharaj is actually a pure devotee. Pure devotee is never disturbed by lack of food or water. That is their natural quality. In the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we see there are so many qualities Krishna describes about pure devotees. And there he says, Santushtam yena kenachit. Whatever the situation is, self-satisfied. He will not be angry at the situation. But here, it is explained that Parikshit Maharaj and those who know about his background, that he was actually a pure devotee. So it is unlikely that he will be overcome by tiredness and hunger and thirst. This is unnatural. But here it is explained that he was like that. And in that situation, he approached Swamigaru's ashram and he saw the Rishi sitting in trance, sitting in straight with his closed eyes. Srila Prabhupada explains how this situation is well organized by Lord Sri Krishna. First of all, it was Lord's desire that Parikshit Maharaj behave like this or become thirsty. Why so? Because although he was a pure devotee, because he was engaged in too much of administration of the whole world and he was living in big palaces surrounded by so many sense objects. So it may so happen that a pure devotee for some time may get distracted from his main service of serving Lord Krishna. And Prabhupada says, although a devotee may sometimes forget Krishna, but Krishna never forgets his devotee. He is so merciful, he makes arrangement of all kinds so that devotee can come back to him. So here, Prabhupada explains that this was designed by Krishna so that Parikshit Maharaj may come back to him quickly. And another reason he says that this was all orchestrated or organized so that Parikshit Maharaj can be a medium for revelation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna wanted to give Srimad Bhagavatam to all the people of Kali Yuga basically. So he used Parikshit Maharaj as a medium, just like he used Arjun as a medium to give Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Similarly here, he is using a very special soul, the chosen one, Parikshit Maharaj, so that the Srimad Bhagavatam can be spoken to. So these are the few reasons why he behaved in a way he never would do it otherwise. And what he saw that the Muni senses organs, breath and mind, intelligence were restrained from material activities. He was observing the Rishi. And he was situated in trance apart from the three, wakefulness, dream and unconsciousness. So Prabhupada says that meditation is not sleeping basically. Sometimes people sit like this and go to sleep, you know, yoga studios and feel very relaxed. But he says this meditation is not dream or wakefulness, or he's not awakened but he's not sleeping also. And he's not unconsciousness also. Sometimes somebody is, you know, hit by his head, he goes unconscious. That is not meditation. So they are apart from the three. And having achieved a transcendental position, qualitatively equal with the Supreme Absolute. So he was in touch with the Supreme Lord. You know, it's a live connection. And therefore he was apart from all these three situations. And then he observed that this says in meditation. So he just entered that ashram and he saw the sage in meditation. Sage was in meditation and he was covered by skin of a stag. Stag means kind of a deer. And he had long compressed hair. Compressed hair means jata. He has long jata all over, scattering all over him. So it was like a very scenic, you can imagine, you know, in your mind, you can see that the king is just entering that hermitage. And he saw here some sage sitting with all his jatas, but very fixed in his transcendental activity. And the king, whose palate was dry from thirst, completely dry, his mouth was completely dry, he asked him for some water. He was like saying, excuse me, can I have some water? He was asking like that, very in a proper manner. But there was no response from the sage. So the sage did not respond. The king became angry. That is another aspect of a pure devotee, that he would not get angry for just because some water is denied. It's a very simple thing. Somebody says, you have water, I don't have water. He doesn't get, you know, very angry because of such a small issue. But here we see that Parikshit Maharaj got angry. And we can see how Krishna is actually organizing one step after other so that Srimad Bhagavatam could be spoken. So in his anger and envy, that is another thing which is never come in a devotee's heart. So this anger was directed toward the Brahmana, says, were unprecedented. Unprecedented means something he would never do, basically. He never did in his life something like that. Neither he will do in the future. Unprecedented. Something miraculously thing is happening. So in that way, what he did, because he thought the sage's treatment is very cold, Prabhupada writes a very nice purport regarding how to receive guests. Atithi Deva Bhavo. You know, that kind of... But here it is explained, because the king felt insulted, he thought the sage is treating me very coldly, so he picked up a dead snake, which was also cold, and put around his neck like a garland, and left that place. But while leaving, this is pure devotee, he was thinking. Upon returning, he began to contemplate and argue within himself. So devotee is like always introspective. Why I've done this? Is it right or is it wrong? And that way, if it is required, he asks for forgiveness. Sometimes even if it is right, but situation is went wrong in somewhere or other, he is ready to ask forgiveness. That is devotee's quality. So he is contemplating in his mind and arguing whether this sage had actually been meditation, actually in meditation. So sometimes when you do mistake, we think actually the other party was actually wrong. So we said, you know, think like that. He was behaving like this. He must be wrong. First of all, we think like that. But later we find out, no, it was actually my mistake. It takes a long time to find out that I was in the wrong shoe or something like that. But anyway, he was thinking, sage had actually been in meditation or what? With senses concentrated and eyes closed, or whether he had just been feigning trance just to avoid receiving a lower kshatriya. Sometimes it happens like that. When we feel insulted, we think the other party is minimizing me or seeing that I am an inferior person, these people is superior. All this logic the mind plays in the, plays all kind of game like this. So he was also thinking like that, and he was leaving. But in the meantime, what happened? The rishi's son, his name is Sringi, he was playing with some of his friends. Very small boy, maybe 5-6 year old. Same as a Prahlad Maharaj, he is completely different. So while he was playing with inexperienced boys, he heard of his father's distress, which was occasioned by the king. Then and there, the boy spoke as follows. So when he heard about this news that his father has been garlanded by a dead snake, so he got immediately very angry. The Brahmana's son, Sringi, said, "Oh, just look at the sins of the rulers, who like crows and watchdogs at the door, perpetrate sins against their masters, contrary to the principles governing servants." So he was comparing Parikshit Maharaj like dog and crow. So, again, when I was reading this for the first time, many years back, in my mind I was thinking, oh, he is right. he did a wrong thing. This is how the moralist, without knowledge of God and knowledge of pure devotees, they think like this. Although he is a king, why he did like this? So it was right on the part of the son of Brahmana to think like that. But actually it's a big mistake, because this boy... And when I was reading at that time myself, we have no idea what Parikshit Maharaj is as a person. He is a pure devotee, and what it means to pure devotee is very difficult to understand for persons like those who are immature and those who are very, very new to these concepts. So Parikshit Maharaj was not only the ruler, he was a pure devotee, and he himself kept Kali from entering into this world. That is like a big deal. Because if Kali enters, it will be very difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. Now we can see this thing. Illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat eating. If these things are there, it is very difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. How can one remain a Brahmana if all these things are happening all over? So Parikshit Maharaj successfully stopped all these things to enter into this world. So he's not an ordinary person, ordinary leader, to be got, you know, to submit so that anybody can get angry at him and speak anything about him. That is absolutely uncultured. That's what Prabhupada says. Although Sringi spoke these things, it shows a lack of culture. We can think the other way. If Sringi would have any proper culture, or would have proper respect for Parikshit Maharaj, how would have reacted? How he would have reacted? So if somebody comes and tells him, oh, your father is gone like this. Then he would react like this, something like that. Parikshit Maharaj has done this? I don't believe it. He's such a great man. How can he do it? I don't accept it. Let me go and see. Even after seeing, let us see how it happened, when it happened. And all these questions will ask as a cultured person, not react immaturely. So, because already, you know, this previous chapter only it is described how Parikshit Maharaj stopped Kali from entering the material world. So Sringi must have been also knowing this thing. So he knew who Parikshit Maharaj was. So if he would have not become affected because of false prestige and all, he would not have asked all these questions. He would not have reacted the way he did. So, because of lack of culture, Srila Prabhupada explains, like we saw the qualities of Brahmanas, there should be quality as well as activity. Both should be reflecting in each other. Culture helps a person to behave properly. If one has proper culture, then he behaves properly, in a proper manner. So, we can see how this Sringi, although he was trained up as a Brahmana because of the qualities and training, but that culture, that behavior did not reflect in that. So therefore he did a mistake. And then he says very, very harsh words basically. That the descendants of kingly orders are definitely designated as watchdogs. He is saying the kings are watchdogs. And they must keep themselves at the door. On what grounds can dogs enter the house and claim to dine with the master on the same plate? So this particular line reminds me of one great Vaishnava. Like, what is his name? Gorkishwara, no. One was eating same plate, the dog was also eating. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. They would not discriminate between, you know, this is Dhamer Kukur and he's a Vaishnava. So we can eat in the same plate. But anyway, here he is saying, Parikshit Maharaj, also a pure devotee, is saying he's a dog. And he cannot dine with my father, who is a Brahmana. So, something very, very contradictory. So, he tried to explain why his father's inhospitality in an impertinent manner befitting an uncultured boy, Prabhupada says. So, basically he was trying to justify, Prabhupada says, he tried to justify the wrong act in a way characteristics of the Brahmanas of Kali Yuga. Prabhupada says that he was speaking logic and everything was falling in place. But the act was also wrong. It is admitted, act is wrong. So he was justifying the wrong act in a way characteristics of the Brahmanas of Kali Yuga. So it was not befitting him at that particular time. And he dared to take the position of. Then the next verse he says, after the departure of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead and supreme ruler of everyone, these upstarts have flourished, our protector being gone. He says, Krishna is our protector. Since he has gone, all these kings think themselves to be great and they are flourishing in this way. So therefore he says, therefore I myself shall take up this matter and punish them. Just witness my power. Now Prabhupada says, he says, Krishna is not there, therefore I will take up Krishna's position and look at the matter, how these kings can behave in such a wrong way. And therefore, this is another sign of false prestige or pride, false pride. And because of that pride, Kali actually entered this Brahmana boy, Prabhupada explains. All the Parikshit Maharaj gave him 5 different places to reside, still Kali could not find such a place. You know, this illicit say, gambling, all these places Parikshit Maharaj gave him, you can stay in these places. But those places were not there. So he was roaming here and there, looking for a place. And as soon as he saw this Brahmana boy who was puffed up in pride, immediately entered him. And the whole things then unfolded. And Prabhupada says, next verse he says, okay. The son of the rishis, his eyes red hot with anger, touched the water of the river Kaushika while speaking to his playmates and discharged the following thunderbolt of words. So, Prabhupada also says that he was talking to his friends who are also small and inexperienced. Said if he would have spoke to any other mature person, he would have stopped him from speaking out this curse. So, we can learn also that whenever we decide on something, it has to be with him, and it should be concentrated with the senior devotees, basically. Otherwise, we also may make a mistake. So, here the Brahmana son cursed the king thus, and he speaks out the curse that on seventh day, this great snake bird will come and annihilate him. And Prabhupada explains, thus the beginning of the misuse of Brahmanical power began. And gradually, the Brahmanas in the age of Kali became devoid of both Brahmanical powers and culture. So first they had power and culture, and they misused the power because of lack of culture, then they lost the power also. Power and culture, both were there. Then because of lack of culture, misused the power and then lost the power also. The Brahmana boy considered Maharaj Parikshit to be Kulangar. The word Kulangar comes in that verse when he speaks the curse. Kulangar means, Angar means all of you know that, charcoal. Black is charcoal. Kulangar means the charcoal of the Kula. That's what it says. But Prabhupada says, but it was the other way around, that this Brahmana boy himself was a Kulangar, because only from him did the Brahmana caste become powerless. Like the snake whose poison teeth are broken. The personality of Kali conquered the Brahmana boy first and gradually the other castes. The whole scientific system of the orders of society in this age has assumed the form of vitiated caste system, which is now being uprooted by another class of men similarly influenced by the age of Kali. So Prabhupada is describing how things happened one after other. Because the Brahmanas got corrupt, therefore all the other castes automatically got corrupted. Because we know in the Varnasram system, the Brahmanas are austere, pure, and they don't have any materialistic desire. Because they are free from materialistic desire, therefore they can give a proper counsel to the king. King needs the counsel, why? Because he is surrounded by so much sense gratifying objects, he can easily get deviated because of these surroundings. So he always needs good advice. And Brahmana can give it because he is free from such sense gratifying activities. So he can be neutral. But when Brahmana is corrupt, then his advisors are also corrupt. That will corrupt Kshatriyas. Then he exacts taxes from the Vaishyas. So Vaishyas will also be corrupted. And all the process, everything will be corrupted. This is how this caste system actually become, Prabhupada uses the word, vitiated caste system. I don't know the exact meaning of vitiate, but something that is vitiated, corrupt. And because it was corrupt, then other people who do not understand what is caste system, who do not understand what is Brahmana, they want to uproot the whole caste system. That is modern day situation, Prabhupada says. And which is now being uprooted by another class of men similarly influenced by the age of Kali. So they are also influenced by age of Kali. They don't understand what is a Brahmana, what is a Kshatriya, and there's a whole caste system, let us uproot it completely. So therefore, in today's day and time, we can see, being part of this world at this time, this is why there is no respect for any proper caste system. So afterwards, then the boy comes to his father's hermitage, and when he sees the snake on his father's neck, he started crying very loudly. And Prabhupada says he was crying not because he was upset with this sight, but he understood he did a mistake by cursing. Therefore, to relieve from that burden, he started crying. it was like his own action, he was trying to hide himself. That is another problem. He cried not because of the sight, but because of his own mistake. But he was showing off as if he is crying for his father. So that is duplicity. Another problem with this Brahminical order. So Swami Krishna then got up from his meditation, and when he saw the garland, he didn't care for the snake, he just threw it apart. But when he heard the story that what had happened, how he cursed the king, that was shocking for him. And because he was a proper Brahmana, he was not like his son, therefore immediately he said, no, you have done a mistake. You should not have cursed the king. So sometimes Prabhupada says, a doctor, a medical practitioner, while treating the patient may die, but that does not mean we kill the doctor also. And compared to such a situation, what Parikshit Maharaj did is nothing. How can you kill him? So that's how he was explaining. Swami Rishi understood the whole situation, then he prayed to Supreme Lord to forgive his son. And then Prabhupada says in the purport that how Krishna planned the whole thing so that Parikshit Maharaj can come back to spiritual world and Srimad Bhagavatam can be spoken. But why this Brahmana boy was involved? What is his mistake? Why Krishna involved him? Then Prabhupada explains, because he was a boy, he could be excused. Therefore he was used. Like that. But in any situation we can see that the whole Brahminical culture from that point onwards, because of this lack of proper qualities, culture, practice, if they are not going together, the whole system problem. Now Prabhupada and following Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's footsteps actually tried to bring back this whole system into life. And we can see all over the world it is happening. And when, on the other hand, when Parikshit Maharaj was returning and thinking like that, what have I done is right or wrong, he heard the message that he has been cursed like this and immediately accepted it. Because he thought he did a mistake by his own analysis. Therefore he thought, if I got punished, then I'll be getting rid of this bad deed. So when the curse came upon him, took it very nicely. So this is another. So you can see Parikshit Maharaj was pure before and he was pure also after the whole incident. In between he acted little, differently. That means it was organized by Krishna. All the acharyas explain like that. And in the whole way, we can see how this Brahminical system become corrupt because of false pride and immature and lack of culture. So when we try to bring this together under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada and all the great acharyas, then the whole caste system can again revive. And many people can take advantage and there will be satisfaction. Unlimited satisfaction will be there in the whole society. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. It's already time, so we won't take any questions, sir. Hare Krishna.